Hey guys, welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of May 26th through June 1st. This is your host, Cardi B. As most of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardi B. So we're wrapping up our final week of May, moving from Taurus into Gemini season, and we have a powerful new moon in Gemini coming up on June 3rd. I don't know how you guys have felt about May, especially the second half has flown by for me. Due to all my fire placements, I can tend to struggle with Taurus season because it really asks us to slow down and absorb and kind of luxuriate in the process. It has that Venus energy, right? That's kind of like just enjoy it. And I tend to kind of be like, go, 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 Aries season, I love it. But Taurus can be a challenge. And I was a bit frustrated, feeling less momentum during the beginning of the month. But as soon as Gemini season hit, I have been on the go constantly. And I'm honestly kind of missing the Taurus days. So grass is always greener, I suppose. We still have another week in the waning moon until the Gemini new moon next Monday on the 3rd. So, you know, that's really the waning moon is when the moon is getting smaller, releasing, preparing for that new moon energy. And it's a really beneficial time to Marie Kondo style clean house. And that can be energetically and physically. My friend Carrie Ann Kohler, the creator of the Woo Workbook, advises to look at, you know, one to two things, just like simply, just one or two things in your home that you feel are lowering your vibe. And this can be anything. This can be like a janky chipped plate that you continue to use because you're like, well, it's not completely broken. And every time you make yourself a meal off of it, it just kind of offends you, right? Or it can be something like an ex's sweatshirt that you haven't thrown out, but it's way past the expiration date of possibly returning it. And that sweatshirt gives you the middle finger every time you open the drawer that it's in. So this week is a really good time to allow yourself to release these things. And in the meantime, treat yourself to a new version. Get a fancy new plate. Get a shirt that's aligned with your current vibe. And the same thing goes for any negative energetic cords. If there's any, you know, people, habits lingering that you kind of know, like that's really not good for me anymore and I'm aware of it. This is a good time to clear it. Because with that, the full moon in Scorpio, the full flower moon was powerful. I mean, Scorpio is, you know, it's sex and passion and death and transformation. So it was a really transformative moon. So, you know, that was probably a time on that Saturday, May the 18th, that you may have had a lot of feelings, that a lot of things may have come up, you know, light or dark. And now we're in a period of really assessing what is it that what's in alignment and what can we release that no longer matches with that. So I would really encourage you guys to kind of look at that between now and Monday the 3rd. So in the upcoming week, I'll get more into the new moon specifically, you know, on social media. I do the new moon rituals and work with Wonderlust girls, but just a little like overview. Moon in Gemini really, it kind of manifests the need for change and spontaneity. And you may already be feeling this because it's kind of, you know, it's on the way into us. And this could be spontaneity in terms of you want to go on a road trip with friends, you get the idea for a new home renovation or a new hairstyle. So it's really good to work with this waning moon to clear out space for this kind of like fun new change up that you're probably going to be inspired to step into. All right, so let's take a week at June's cards. Again, I've switched the format lately of doing the one card from the 2019 overview that we pulled at the beginning of the year for each month and working with the card that is the traditional order of the Golden Dawn. So they worked, you know, astrologically. And Lovers is the card for Gemini season. It's ruled by Gemini. And the Lovers, aka Portia and Ellen in the Badass Bitches Tarot, is it's that kind of harmonious energy. In the Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows a couple, a naked man and a woman, standing in front of trees in a garden, and they're kind of approaching each other under this angel in the sky. And the angel is said to be Raphael, whose name actually translates to God heals. And Raphael has historically been said to represent physical and emotional healing. And in that, he's kind of showing this, you know, this couple that even though they're human, they are in fact connected to divine or the universe or cosmic consciousness, whatever you want to call it. The lovers, because they're ruled by Gemini, they represent kind of that those two sides, right? In the card, it's the Smith Rider Waite is, you know, this man and woman as a couple. In my deck, it's Ellen and Portia. It's kind of like these two parts coming together. And this card traditionally is thought of more so of representing romantic partnerships and connections, but it can also be partnership, you know, through friends, family members, loved ones, work collaborations and partnerships that are really in sync and aligned. It's a very like yin-yang energy card. But I always say when I get this card in a reading for a client, it also represents harmony and healing within ourselves. When we think about those two sides to Gemini, we all have lightness and darkness inside ourselves, and integrating those sides brings harmony. And for those of us that are seeking partnerships with others, the more we're in a place of harmony ourselves, the better those outside relationships are likely to be, and the more kind of worthy we feel to someone coming in that's really, you know, at the same, on our level, more or less. So to me, the Lovers card is always just as much about cosmic connection and healing as it is about receiving external love. All right, let's take a look. Our second card. Now, this is the one we pulled the first of the year. So when we did the 2019 overview, the June card came through as Justice. And in the traditional Smith Rider Waite deck, this card shows Justice seated stoically in front of a purple veil in the background between two pillars. And she's kind of in the same position or giving off the same vibe as the High Priestess and the Hierophant, as she's kind of sitting almost on a pedestal, and you feel like she has this knowledge that she's, you know, that she's going to impart or share as a result of her position and the things that she's went through and connected to. She's holding a sword in her right hand, and the right hand is known for kind of the masculine side of putting out to the world. And she's bringing that sword's energy with that of truth and intellect and logic to the table with her right hand. She also has scales that she's holding in her left hand. And the left hand we think of as the receiving and intuitive kind of feminine hand. And in this balance of the scales in the left and the swords in the right, it's really demonstrating that intuition and logic are equally important to Justice. Astrologically, Justice is ruled by Libra, you know, the scales that represent the sign of Libra. So that sign's really traditionally known for kind of seeking fairness and justice and always in search of harmony and balance. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, Justice is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Obvi. And just like RBG, this card represents asserting what is fair and just for ourselves. And in doing that, we often find that it's really important to put boundaries in place. So I always think of Justice as like, as, you know, Ruth just laying it on the line of like, yes to this, no to this, this is what's working. And, you know, on a personal level, how do we do that when we bring harmony into our lives? I really like this combo for the June cards because both the Lovers and Justice represent seeking harmony using communication and that movement of air signs because, you know, the Lovers ruled by Gemini is an air sign, and then we have Justice ruled by Libra. So it's a lot of air, a lot of communication. The Lovers kind of comes at that with more of an emo, sensual touch, and Justice brings a combination of that fierce RBG logic and intuition. So this is a really powerful combination to align yourself and set yourself up for success in the month of June. All right, let's take a look at our card of the week. Ooh, okay. Two things here, card of the week. And also, I don't know of those of you who read, if a card jumps out, I always think it's significant. I am a pretty good shuffler, as you guys can probably hear by now, if I do say so myself. So I rarely have jumpers, but I just had the Nine of Cups jump out. So that's you know, the wish card. It's known as the genie card of if there's anything that you are kind of manifesting from the universe, it means that energy is working with you. So I'm just going to put that out there. That was an unexpected little jumper, but we have Nine of Cups working with us as well. It's kind of if there's something that we're manifesting, which is also great energy for a new moon. So again, coming into that June 3rd moon, let really, really put it out there. And Nine of Cups also encourages us to be specific. So, you know, anything that you're really wanting right now, wanting to allow in with that lovers and justice energy on your side, Nine of Cups has your back. But for the card that I flipped over and pulled, we have Five of Swords. And I have mixed feelings about this card. I always have. And the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, Five of Swords is this mofo carrying three swords. And he's kind of smiling, but like smugly. And he looks a little cocky. And he's looking over his shoulder at these two poor mofos in the background that clearly look defeated after what appears to have been a big battle. And the sky is drawn as being like really kind of gray and dark and cloudy and looks ominous. It's kind of like, okay, even though you may have appeared to have won this, it's not all sunshine ahead. It's not going to be easy. Astrologically, Five of Swords is ruled by Venus and Aquarius. And you'd probably think, how can that be a bad thing? Venus is love and beauty, and Aquarius is imagination and innovation. But both Venus and Aquarius are equally stubborn. So make sure that you move through situations with integrity this week. That's kind of the little like heads up in Five of Swords. In Badass Bitches Tarot, this card is Omarosa. It was like the fives were hard for me to choose who to select as the iconic women because they are challenging cards. And Five of Swords specifically, it can be a win. There's a victorious element, but it's also a win at kind of any cost. And when this energy is entered into recklessly, it can mean winning the battle only to inevitably lose the war. But since we know this, it's just a little heads up to move through any confrontations or potential power struggles with you know, just your highest self, with integrity, and make sure you're coming at it from that place and not from just a place of ego in order to win. So I actually, this week, it's funny, I had a conversation that I referenced Five of Swords, and someone was talking to me about Rubik's Cubes, of all topics, and apparently they're becoming really big in China due to some licensing deal that's expanded them to that territory, and a friend of mine was talking about it, and he asked me if I was good at conquering Rubik's Cubes as a child, and he said, "You seem like someone who'd be really good at that," and he kind of laughed, and the answer is yes and no. Despite my weird aptitude for math at a young age and love of visual hobbies, I was not a master of Rubik's Cubes in the traditional sense anyway. My sister did have one growing up. I mean, it was the 80s, and if nothing else, it matched her cool 80s room decor. And I remember playing with it and really trying to master it. And after becoming frustrated with not being able to make every single side of the cube all one solid color, which is the goal, I realized that the individual little colored squares were actually just stickers, like score, right? Because those can be peeled off. So when my big sister wasn't watching, I peeled them all off and made little piles and rearranged them to make the perfectly completed Rubik's Cube. Told you guys, I'm totally 100% Slytherin house. Initially, she was really impressed, and she was like, "Oh my god, my little math genius baby sister." But after time, the stickers started to like pop off, and some of them went missing, and it looked like kind of like Indian corn style. So overall, it just looked really busted, and eventually she clearly figured out my trick. And that's kind of Five of Swords energy. Like, yeah, there's a quick win to be had that can impress people in the short term, but it's rarely the best path and almost never sustainable. You end up winning the battle only to lose the war, or in my case, ruining a perfectly good Rubik's Cube. So just, you know, kind of bear that in mind with opportunities that may come to you in this upcoming week. All right, so time for my favorite segment. So this week we have a coming out of the spiritual closet from Ashley in Vancouver. "Hey Cardsy, I got your Betty White the World candle and I'm loving it so much." Thanks, Ashley. She continues to write, "So I'm pretty transparent about my witchy side and keep my herbs and tarot decks out for all to see in my apartment. I also often carry crystals with me and keep certain crystals in my bra depending on the occasion. I recently started dating someone and was in an intimate situation, so to speak, when my rose quartz loudly fell on the floor. I was super embarrassed. He seemed confused, but also cool about it. So that was a whole other layer of coming out of the spiritual closet right there. P.S. I know you work in fashion as well. Any suggestions on how to keep your crystals in place? Hey, Ashley, amazing. And yes, I'm also a fan of the crystals and the bra trick. I don't have an accessory for this, but honestly, I've been thinking of developing one, but need to add that to my long list of future projects. But here's what I do. If your bra has a little insert pocket for the pads, like the foam pads to take in and out when you wash them, that's a great place to put your crystals and keep them a bit more secure. If you don't have those, but you have a molded padding of sorts, I actually cut a little slash in the padding in these bras and put my crystals right in the molding. But just remember, regardless of where you keep them, if you're keeping them inside the bra itself like that, take them out when you do the laundry. I learned that one the hard way. So yeah, definitely just remember to take them out, but that does help kind of keep them in place. Thank you so much for that. I loved that email, and I'm going to write you back via email to send you a free reading separately. I love my crystal sisters out there. Before we head out, let me quickly give you the month's recap. So we're moving into that Gemini energy of the lovers, bringing in harmony and fulfillment. This can come in as a deepened connection with a loved one, but also encourages us to integrate the light and shadow within ourselves to experience more balance, harmony, and self-love. Our other card of the month, Justice, reminds us to protect this with clearly defined boundaries. And this week we have Five of Swords. Five of Swords comes in and may tempt us to go for a shady win, but reminds us to look at the whole situation before plunging forward. Okay, some additional announcements really quickly. I don't have an Instagram live this week. I'm so sorry because I know I was stuck on a plane last Sunday, and now this week it's one of my best friend's weddings. But I will be back next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, so you can tune in for an overview, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, an overview of the upcoming week, a chance to ask your own questions, and for a free mini live reading. And you can send through any questions in advance to my Instagram or email so that I can answer them live if you're not able to attend. Also, if you're in desperate need of a reading before then, you can always book one one-on-one with me via Skype, phone, FaceTime, or in person if you're in New York at badassbitchestarot.com. Also, this week is the final deadline to sign up for risegatherings.com, the retreat in the Poconos, where I'll be the featured tarot reader from May 31st to June 2nd. I also have some fab new events coming up in June for the summer solstice, so stay tuned. For updates on upcoming events and any additional information, follow at CardsyB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com. Thank you guys. I hope you have a fantastic Gemini season and enjoy the June overview. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.